From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we're on for the Fans. Steve Blue Show, great podcast with RP Ranger Proud. Rangers lose to the Islanders. 2-1 exhibition game in the bubble in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We're going to talk about this game. Get ready for the playoffs this Saturday at noon versus the Carolina Hurricanes. Without further ado, man, Ranger Proud, of course, writer for Empire Sports Media, and of course on Twitter, and of course on the Gram and the Facebook page. RP, let's talk about what we saw tonight, man. Rangers fall, but Islanders, gotta give them credit. Excellent defensive third period for them to really lock down the Rangers to get limit all the opportunities, bro. But what's going on, man? How's everything?
Hey, Steve, everything's good. Yeah, it was the first game in several months and all had a big pace. You could tell in the third period they were going to be a little tired. They haven't played at this level in a while. But you want to know a lot of good things came out of the game. They looked good. It was good that the NHL got everybody an exhibition game prior to the start of the playoffs because they need to get that rust shaken out and all. I thought there were a lot of good things tonight. Kaapo Kakko, I thought, played really well. Had several shots on net. He looked strong. Peter looked strong. He had a goal tonight. I think you were all waiting or expecting for an hour and Zibanejad just to pick up right where they left off, which probably wasn't too reasonable, but us Ranger fans are always looking for a little bit more than we can get. So I was just excited to see hockey. I was looking forward to it. It was a good game. Both teams look good. The Islanders always a strong defensive team. Romanov, their goaltender, played excellent tonight. I think he made 19 saves in the two periods that he played. But, you know, Steve, all in all, it was good to have hockey back. It was, for me personally, I guess for all fans, it was something that was much needed. It was a little bit of a get away from all the problems going on in the world and just watch hockey.
Right on. I agree. Kaapo Kakko, I thought, had a strong hand, like you said. I agree with you on that. I guess that mental break you mentioned before, as far as him being so young and expectations of him with being a high draft pick, like, he looked fresh out there. It's almost like his second season, you know? I mean, I know it's exhibition, but when you have this much time off, that there's something about the human brain, man. Like, you have time to mentally reset, because he was really in the thick of things with grown men, and especially with all the weight on his shoulders, being almost the de facto savior. But if it wasn't for Panera coming over in free agency, you know, he would have had a huge target on his back, you know, as far as everybody gunning for him, the media, stuff like that. But yeah, I agree with you. As far as his game tonight, man, he let it fly tonight. He shot a lot of pucks on goal at net, and he wasn't shy about it. He wasn't hesitating, and that was a good sign, man. It really was,
you know, it was good. I thought all four lines had some pretty decent flow to it. I really thought in the first two periods, Julien Gauthier played really strong. He is a fast hockey player. I really like his style. Jesper Fast looked great tonight. A lot of scoring opportunities. He had a lot to do with the Hedl goal. I think Philip DiGiuseppe played well. Another guy strong. They didn't play a bad hockey game. You know, it was 1-0 pretty much into the middle of the third. Kyle scored that nice goal. But, I no complaints. I'm sure the coaching staff saw a lot of things. I thought the Rangers' gap on defense towards the second period and into the third was getting a little bit too large, which is something that Coach Quinn's always looking to keep in control of. But that probably had a lot to do with players being a little bit more tired, a little bit more winded. I know through some of the other exhibition games of the latter part of the second and the third period, teams have struggled. And that's expected. You're getting your conditioning back. You know, nothing can simulate an NHL hockey game, whether it's with or without fans. Doesn't really matter. These guys are elite. So there were no surprises. You know, Lundqvist looked sharp. Shesterkin looked sharp. It was overall a strong outing. I thought there were a lot of positives that came out of it. Now they got to regroup a little bit, try to off some of those little deficiencies they had and get ready for a tough Carolina series starting on Saturday.
Yeah, and I thought at the start of the game, Buchnevich was looking strong as well. He was really active in that offensive zone. Ryan Strom as well. I mean, he had some nice passes, setting up like Trouba. And Trouba actually looked fresher. I know he fanned one shot and it was almost like a turnover. But Trouba, I thought, was a little, you know, he's another guy, a free agent, and a lot of fans, you know, big, you know, free agent signing. And until even to his own words, he thought he didn't have as good a season up until the COVID that he wanted to play a lot better. But he had a scoring chance off the Panarin pass in, earlier in the first period, and I think he had a couple of other quality shots, a good pass from Kreider as well. Late in the first period, from what I can remember, but then he had that fan shot. So, I mean, outside of that, the first period, like you say, it was a very tight game. I don't want to nitpick it because, I don't know, we're right into the playoffs. This is, you know, a unique situation, RP. It's just the way I see this, man, it's just the transition goal given up. That's something you got to keep an eye on because that's kind of like what the Carolina Hurricanes like to do when Bouvier, when that unassisted goal that gave up halfway through the second period, through the second period, the blue shirts defensemen they kind of got behind them, and the same thing happened on the other goal, man, from the Chase goal, they got behind the defenseman on Lindgren on one play, I believe it was high at the other, if I'm not mistaken, but other than that, I mean, like you said, everything was pretty much ebb and flow. The scoring chances, a lot of, you know, penalty. Every time the Rangers got into a penalty situation or a power play situation, it ended up being a 4-on-4, you know, little things like that. That's just because of, you know, you got to clean that up. But, you know, you're fresh off the, yeah, you know, the long break, you know?
I tell you, the interesting about it is, believe it or not, the Rangers staff, as many teams, I'm sure, they wanted to be shorthanded. I think the coaches are more concerned with their special teams than anything else. So the Rangers, unfortunately, took way, way too many penalties tonight. But the penalty killing looked very, very good. You know, the four-man units, the goaltending, that went well. Their power play, they kind of didn't get a lot of power play time and kept getting short power plays, taking penalties when they have a man advantage. That's something you really need to clean up fast because you don't want to waste those opportunities once the playoffs start Saturday. But I think overall, like you said, there are a lot of positive things. I don't think the Mark Stahl situation is serious. He was playing. I don't know if he was tired. He was strained. The new guidelines for injuries and COVID is a little bit hard on everybody else knowledge-wise because the teams are not allowed to say anything. You won't see upper body injury. You won't see lower body injury. You're either going to see unfit to play or something else, but you're not going to know what it is. So we're going to have to wait to see if slow practices. I figured if the Rangers have practice tomorrow or not, I think they do, to get a little bit more of what's going on. Because even if they ask the coach in the post game tonight, he's not allowed to say anything about the injury. If you remember last week, Buchnevich got hurt, a slight little injury, and they weren't allowed to issue any statement on the injury at all. So it kind of leaves you in the dark because you really don't know what you're going into. You know, was he a little tired? Was it a strain? Or was it something stupid and they had the extra defenseman in the lineup tonight they were allowed and they wanted to see Hyatt play a little bit more, so why push the issue? You really don't know, injury-wise, what it is. I personally don't think it's anything to do with COVID. The players have been tested. He wouldn't have been pulled out in the middle of the game. He wouldn't have played. Maybe he tweaked something. They've been out a little bit. Maybe he's a little winded. It's probably something minor, and they're just making sure he's all right for Saturday. At least that's what the hope is.
Yeah, that's going to be one of cause of concern with how they're going to do with the injuries and how they're going to do the rotation with the defensemen on how a domino effect can affect as far as the IR or just sitting out and guys coming in and stepping right in. And I honestly don't know their game plan on that. So it's kind of more for me, I have to wait and see on that. But I do think the quality, I think that we have enough depth there to compete in that first round versus Carolina. So with Stahl, when he comes back, and we should see how that goes, man. Offensively, kind of go back to that one point. I mean, Zibanejad, I think he had a shot to hit the crossbar. He had a nice opportunity. Fast. Not his fault. It was great goalie work, man. The Islanders goalie, Varlamov. The three consecutive saves. You can't really fault that. I mean, Fast had his opportunities. Fast had a great pass from Brendan Smith. You know, like you said, got the put back from Filip Hedl. You know, I know people were really anxious to see Panarin get off, and I think that's going to come, especially against Carolina. Mm-hmm. I don't have no doubt about that. It's really one of those tight games, man, where the Islanders, you know, they have pretty much good four lines. Third and fourth line are, you know, they're very serviceable. They'll make you work, and if you slip up, they'll get behind you. And they'll cause damage. They got the unassisted goal, and they got the other goal, which I thought Hank should have stopped anyway. But I think more of that was more of the it was lingering, and Panarin didn't get back on Taze. And that's kind of two mental mistakes really cost you the game tonight. Outside of that, it was really a tight game.
Yeah, correct. But you want to know, in this style game, I'll take those mistakes tonight as opposed to Saturday, because at least you know there's something that you can work on. With regards to Zibanejad and most of the team, they had a lot of shots. They weren't able to finish. They were probably squeezing the sticks a little bit. They're all anxious to get that first goal. I think there's a little bit more pressure on Panarin and Zibanejad to find their scoring touch that they had before the shutdown in late March, and that's kind of hard to do. Just kind of have to take it a shift at a time and you know, let the play come to you a little bit. I think they were both forcing it a little bit. You could tell Panarin was missing a lot of those one-timers that he's so good at and practices so much, and he was just that one step off tonight. Same thing I thought with Zibanejad. He was a little bit off on his shots. He was a little bit off on some of his passes. And that's just all timing and getting back into game action. And I'm sure they'll be able to clean that up going forward. And, you know, I think the lineup that we saw tonight will be the lineup that we see on Saturday. The coach has pretty much had training camp. It wasn't really a training camp. He wanted to get the team that was there in March back together now, and that's how he played it for the 2 weeks. So I think with the exception of you know, Lemieux obviously won't be in the lineup because he's suspended. If he was the extra forward tonight, as the NHL allowed an extra forward and defenseman in this game, and if Stahl can play, well then, as Sam said during the broadcast, at least Lieber Hayek got a lot of action in the third period and can get his bearings a little bit before he starts. I don't think anybody that was scratched is going to miraculously be in the lineup on Saturday, meaning you're not going to see Radish on defense, I would think. I don't think you're going to see Vitaly Kravtsov play on Saturday. I think he's going to go with the lineup he had tonight, which would make sense, get those guys some on ice contact and so forth. And then after that, depending on what happens with game one, then you might see some changes.
Yeah, I can see that. I could definitely see that. Oh, you brought up Brendan Lemieux, man. Tonight it was a pure exhibit A, clear-cut example why we're going to miss him those first two games. And this guy is in a mix of things. He's going to defend this team, and he's going to pretty much have that edge that nobody else on the roster has. You know, you can never go without that. You already know that, RP. It's just Brendan Lemieux, it brings that toughness, man. And fans love him, man. Rangers Twitter loves him, man. I mean, on there tonight, just how the blue shirt fans just saying, damn, man, wish we had him for those two games, man, if it wasn't for that, what happened out there in Colorado before the COVID. That goes without saying, and you saw that tonight, man. Just in the mix, scrapping with Islander players, left and right, taking penalties, embellishment penalties, all kind of stuff, man. But you know what? He needed it. I think probably in his mind, knowing that he's not even going to play the first two games, and this game necessarily doesn't count. You know, he's just going to be Brendan Lemieux, and you know, we're going to need him as soon as he gets back in game three, no matter if the series is 2-0 in our favor, their favor, 1-1 split, whatever. Can't wait to have him back, man. What's your thoughts on Lemieux?
I think we're definitely going to miss him. I mean, he just adds that feistiness and that that swagger to him that you're like, oh, I can't wait, you know, to see him go again. But, you know, something, the Rangers' depth has been something that's been pretty strong most of the season, and they're going to have to find a way to get by without him for the next few games. You know, his feistiness, his actions on the ice can sometimes change the momentum, and that's just something they're just going to have to figure out how to go about for a couple of games. I personally think they'll be able to do it. As much as he's going to be missed, they're going to have to find a way to go on without him, and I think they will. It's not a to me, it's not really a question of can they. They definitely will, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. About tonight, man, I mean, have you seen all the other games, exhibition games? I've seen most of them. The NHL has done the best job with the team sports versus the other team sports, in my opinion. The Toronto bubble looks very good. The MSG cameras watching the game was fantastic. It was the best I've seen out of all the team sports, especially, like you said, with the overhead angle. I mean, I wish we could have that all the time, man. I mean, what about your viewing experience
that
now that you're
great.
Fans, you see tarp on the seats and all that other stuff? Like, what was your thoughts as far as the viewing experience as a fan, man, just watching the game?
I thought it was great. I got to tell you, I had a good time with that. I also heard they're going to have even more surprises when Saturday comes around. So I'm definitely interested in what that'll entail because there was some great views. The overhead view wasn't too high up. It was actually the right height. I like on a power play early in the period, in the first when the Islanders had their power play, you could see the whole play develop. Just like if you were sitting at a suite at the Garden looking down at the ice, watching the play develop, I thought that was incredible. I really enjoyed that. So I hope we get to see more of that as the playoffs continue.
Man, I wish there was a way you could get that angle all game long. I'd rather see that angle versus our traditional center ice angle from the upper deck or middle deck, depending on which arena you're in, because RP, man, like you said, you get to see the plays develop, and that was the one thing I've always had a knock on the NHL, man. Like, they could have different, you know, views are all around the rink, height of the camera, where it is. Like, you don't have to be in the same constant position. Give me one of the end of the ice views if you want. Give me like that overhead, like you said, it was a perfect height, and the fact that it followed the play throughout. You know what I'm saying? And then you can see the line changes. You can see how guys set up. You can see how guys getting into their set. Give me, you know what? I don't know if they have this on multiple MSG channels this weekend. You know, you're gonna have it on your regular MSG. If they had MSG Plus, MSG 2, or whatever, give me that angle on that particular channel, and I'll go to that channel. You know, if people want to watch the regular game, like how we normally watch it, go ahead and do your thing. But if they had that angle on, like, I mean, there's nothing going on. Like, you know, Giants ain't playing and Knicks ain't playing. Shoot, give us MSG 2, give us that camera angle. Why not?
No, I hear you.
Like, what
I hear you. I agree. But I mean, it was. You'd expect, however they're broadcasting and who's broadcasting these games, to add a little bit something to the show with everything being so different and unusual right now. So I'm looking forward to see what they're going to do from the first round, the qualifying rounds, because there were some great views tonight. Just different views, great views. It felt like Sam and Joe were at the game, which I was a little concerned about. This hockey's a little bit faster than the other sports, and when you're not calling it there, sometimes you sort of anticipate where the puck is going to go as you're calling the game, and when you're not there and you're trying to call the game, but they were right on the entire night, so you didn't even know that they were in Toronto, which is great. So I think, like I said, there are a lot of good things that came out of the day. Mainly, we got to see hockey again.
Right. There is one thing I do wish they had done tonight, but maybe they will do it during the playoffs, especially on an MSG network, where I would like to see more of that backdrop they've had of the Rangers and the Islanders in the stands, like those big, I don't know, billboard-looking things, like the decoration, if you want to call it. I don't think they had enough of that because it was nice to see. Like, it was really colorful as far as scoreboard. I don't know if they're going to do kind of like what the NBA did and may have a virtual fan section off those boards. I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe they haven't done that. I haven't seen that in any of the other exhibition games. But
yeah,
I wish they would have had it. Hmm?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to do that or if they're going to – I think Joe Micheletti mentioned, and I didn't realize until he said it, it kind of had a Winter Classic feel. When you're watching a Winter Classic, the fans are normally further away from the ice because you're at a stadium or a baseball park or something like that. And that was kind of the feel you got here. The seating being decorated the way they had it did remind you of how the Winter Classic is when the immediate area around the ice doesn't have any fans. And it just seemed to take, I don't know, it didn't feel like when I watched the baseball game, you could tell there were no fans. It was sort of missing something. In hockey, I guess because it's so fast and there's a lot going on at one time, I don't think you notice that there weren't as many fans, any fans, in the arena. That was just my view on it. I think, and I noticed it more because I've been watching baseball now, and tonight was the first real whole hockey game I watched. And the action is so fast and there's so much going on at one time, you really don't notice that there are no fans. Similar to NASCAR, because I watched that too, and they went a couple of races before they started bringing some of their fan base back. And there's so much going on in the cockpit and around with the other cars, you don't really notice that there are no fans in the stands. And that's the impression I got with the hockey tonight. So I was kind of happy with it. I know the Mets have the cutouts and some of the other teams have cutouts of people. I don't know. Sometimes it's just because when you're watching a baseball game and it's empty behind home plate, it just looks bad. It's a bad sight line. It's a bad visual. So they did that. In hockey, the way they have Toronto decorated, and Edmonton too, for that matter, because I watched a little bit of the Oilers game last night, I just think it's a good appearance. It's not a distraction. It's not sore to the eye, and it keeps you focusing on the ice.
Yeah, the baseball cutouts, it looked like South Park characters, man. It looks kind of weird.
Didn't it?
You
know? It looks cheesy. But you want to know?
Baseball
stadiums are so big, and there's only 9 people on the field at one time, you know, on the defense, and there's not a lot going on other than the pitcher going to the batter until a ball gets put in play. In hockey, it's constant action. It's constant movement. I mean, I'm sure it'll be the same thing tomorrow night when basketball kicks off. It's a faster sport. So there's a lot going on and so forth, so you maybe not notice it as much. Now, in basketball, it's always different because the fans, to me, basketball is even harder because the fans sit almost on the court. You know, those great sideline chairs, the bridge chairs, whatever you want to call them, the top money ticket items, the fans are right there. That's not going to be there. So I think you're going to notice that from a basketball standpoint. So we'll see how it plays out. It is a problem that all the leagues are having and having to deal with. So we just have to wait and see how it shakes out with the rest of the NHL and the other sports if baseball finishes.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. It did have a Winter Classic feel to it. It didn't bother me as a fan necessarily, but, you know, it was just glad to see the hockey back in general, man. Like, all the teams competing.
Oh, yeah.
Our squad versus the Islanders. You hear that? Yeah, it was. I liked it, man. You know, maybe
great.
I'm thinking
–
Yeah, and maybe they're giving us they probably are holding their cards, their hand, holding their hand as far as – or not showing their hand. Maybe we'll get some dope camera angles for these playoff games. I hope so, man. I hope that was just a teaser, man. I don't – you know, that like I said before, man, if there was ever a knock on the hockey as far as viewing it on TV, man, I just don't think they give us enough camera angles, man. But that angle, like you said, above the ice, man, that was like – I'm cool with that.
Great.
You know, you don't have to give me nothing else for the rest of the game, man. This is what it's at.
You see the whole thing break down.
And it had the right angle because you had part of the Islander bench, you had most of the Rangers bench, and you could see all the players coming on the ice whether, you know, under 6 players. It was fantastic, man. I know, RP, we're running on time, but let me ask you this, man, as far as the Ranger Team Awards and, of course, Panarin Hart Finalist, you think he's going to get it? What's your thought about the Ranger Team Awards as well?
I think, you know, I think the unusual thing with the MVP finalists is that if you look at the three guys, the advantage for Panarin is he came to a team that wasn't expected to make the playoffs. He came to a new team for the first season. He put up 95 points. He definitely led his team to where they are now. And I think what he did on the ice is the definition of what an MVP is. That's not taking away from Drysdale in Edmonton or Nathan MacKinnon over in Colorado, two incredible hockey players. But they were with their teams for a while. And to me, the difference is whenever you go from one city to another and under the pressure that Panarin had starting with New York, and then to do what he did, and he made his entire team better. He made Ryan Strome better. He made Zibanejad better. And I think that's what an MVP is supposed to do. So am I leaning towards him? Yes. Am I biased towards him? Of course. But when you really break it down, all three guys are great. All three guys are worthy of it. So I'm just happy that Panarin is one of the three finalists. Because early rumors were he wasn't even going to be in as the three finalists, and I just didn't understand that. So when the nominations came out, I thought that was – it's a win already for the Rangers. You couldn't ask for much more out of Panarin in his first year in New York City. Points, goals, what he does on the ice, his smile when he's on the ice, his pure enjoyment of playing the game, you know, in the big city. He knew what he was getting himself into when he came to New York from Columbus, and, you know, he lived up to every expectation. And you know, we're in the playoffs, which in October, many of us weren't thinking was a possibility. So it's great, and I hope he got it. And for the team awards, him being named the team MVP was no surprise. Just the fast win in the player award for the fifth year in a row just shows you what the entire team thinks of this guy, which is just great. And Chris Kreider winning the Jim Halloran Award for the Good Guy Award, which is voted on by the media for how a player works with the media and so forth off the ice, is well deserved. It was a good day all around for the Rangers today.
Yeah, it was. Let me see, anything else? Okay, Carolina, man, who wins the series? How many games?
Rangers in four. I'm not being, I just think the Rangers are a better team. I think they have better goaltending. I think Carolina's going to be missing a couple of key players. I think we match up better against them. And if you look how the Rangers played tonight against an Islander team that's struggled but really good defensive hockey team, and I think if the Rangers can start finding the back of the net quick, and a quick start is huge in a five-game series. Game one's really important, but I just think the Rangers have a very good chance to knock out Carolina. It has nothing to do with the regular season, all those stats are crap. It was so long ago, who remembers? I just think line for line, the Rangers just are better. Just match up better against them.
I was thinking four. I want to give Carolina the respect they kind of deserve for being there the way they were last year. And I like the mentality of the team. I'm going to say Rangers in five. I was thinking four for a minute, but I think my decision or my thought process has changed maybe about 3 days ago. But no matter how you do it, Rangers win the series. I say five. Hopefully we're right, whether it is four or five. So we've already talked about the breakdown, and we'll definitely get back to it next Tuesday where we are at with the series, and we'll definitely discuss. Let me ask you real quick before you just pick the winners, man. We'll have some fun real quick before we get off. What about Islanders and Panthers, man? Who do you think wins?
Islanders.
I agree.
Panthers are struggling. Bobrovsky gave up five tonight. He had a horrible season. They are struggling, and the Islanders are going to just get better. If any team that needed to take a break, the Islanders had lost their last seven before the pandemic. They were falling down the standings, and they needed a break, and they look much better tonight. So I think the Islanders over the Panthers.
All right. What about Maple Leafs and the Blue Jackets?
You know, I'll take Toronto. I love Tortorella. I like the Blue Jackets. I just think Toronto's going to find a way. Especially it's sort of at home,
Toronto.
You know, no fans and all. There's a comfort level there that you can't. There's just a
That's
comfort
true.
Level there that you can't take away from no matter what anybody says. They're playing in their building, and every game's a home game.
I agree, man. I had Toronto for some of the same reasons as far as that pseudo home cookie, even though they're all in a bubble. But I think they're probably one of those teams as well, getting guys back, and they probably feel a little bit of pressure to perform in their home city, even within the bubble. So yeah. I kind of lean Toronto. Maybe I'm not even giving it enough respect to the Blue Jackets, but I'm going to go Toronto. What about Pittsburgh and Montreal?
Ooh, there's a fun series. There's a fun series. If there's going to be an upset, that's going to be one of them. Montreal might be able to, if Price has a really good playoff. I don't know. You know, guys like Crosby and Malkin, they need a game or two to find their scoring touch again and really get going. I watched a little of that Flyer game, their game against the Flyers, and guys like Letang and all
that was
a little
a great
off.
Game,
but that's why they played the exhibition game though, to get that to shake off that rust. So it's hard to tell, but I'll go with a different view on that and go with the Canadiens.
Yeah, that. By the way, you were right, man. That was the first game, exhibition game, to lead off that Philly. Pittsburgh game. I watched that, and that was an excellent, excellent game to start off the exhibition. But I'm going to go with Pittsburgh, though. I think they'll find a way. I mean, there's a lot of veterans on there. A lot of them, man. Veteran-led team. Montreal's very solid, but I think I'm going to go with Pittsburgh, man. Like, just for the same names you mentioned, you're adding Chris Letang, Jake Gunsel, all those guys, man. I think they'll be good. In the West, man, RP, Edmonton and Chicago. Edmonton's in a similar situation as Toronto.
Edmonton. David looked great yesterday. Drysdale looked great yesterday. I like Edmonton. I really do.
I agree. I'm going with the Oilers, man. Nashville and Arizona.
Nashville. No reason why. I just like Nashville better over Arizona.
I think they have a little enough sun, too. I think they have a little something left in the tank. I'm going with Nashville as well. Arizona's too, I would say they're new, because they got some veterans on that team. We talk about Stephon and Grabner. They added Taylor Hall from the trade from the Devils. I mean, they got some gunners, man, but Nashville still does too, to an extent, man. I'm going to go with the Predators. I think Philip Forsberg, you add in Adverson. They got some guys, man. Of course, the defenseman is still intact, man. I like that. Vancouver and Minnesota.
Vancouver. I like Vancouver. I like Hughes on defense. I think this is time to shine a little bit. Minnesota can pull it off, but I go with the Canucks.
I agree, man. And Vancouver has a lethal power play, too, man. And Minnesota gets sloppy. Mm-hmm. With their penalties, man, they're going to be really skating backwards against that power play unit for the Canucks, man. They are very – they've been I would have called them a surprise team, but there was one of those teams I was like, man, the start of their season, man, they were fun to watch when at the start of the NHL season. Canucks with me for me too. Calgary and Winnipeg.
Oh, I like that series. I do. That's going to be a fun series. I got to go with Calgary because I'm just a Johnny G fan.
Man, I think, you know what, man?
Yeah.
I might go Winnipeg, man. I think they need to make up for how they bowed out in the first round of St. Louis last year. I know there's different circumstances. And Winnipeg, they got to make that up.
They got a great club. They do. That might be one of the best series in the qualifying round, but I'll tell you. That's going to be a fun series.
Yeah, I won't get into the reseeding of those teams. I just want to focus on the teams that actually have to get through the first round, actually. You know, we know about Boston, Tampa Bay, who looked really good today versus Florida.
Yeah.
And, of course, the other teams at the top of the heat, man. We'll get to those. The Phillies and then in the West, of course, you know, we know about St. Louis, Colorado, stuff like that. Final thoughts for you, RP.
Hockey is back. What are the final thoughts that we need? It was great to see. Look forward to the playoffs. And that was just fun to see. I got to tell you, I was looking forward to it all day. So it lived up to the expectation. The final score means nothing in this game. It was just good to see the guys back on the ice. Everybody skating. Tank looked good in goal. Quinn's going to have a tough decision starting goaltender. Not based on today's game, just based on picking either Lundqvist or Shesterkin. It's going to be a tough decision. he could bite him in the ass. He could look like, you know, the greatest coach in the world. We'll have to wait and see.
You're talking about as far as starting at goalie?
Say that again?
Are you talking about who starts at goalie? Is that what you're talking about as far as the coach?
Oh, yeah. That's he has some – it's not as easy as everybody thinks. Good as Shesterkin has played and all. But, you know, Lundqvist is the veteran. Shesterkin still has only played in 13 games, including tonight in the NHL. The playoffs are a totally different animal. And you're only playing with a best-of-five series. You really can't afford to lose game one. It makes things so much harder. So I don't know which way. I know everyone's saying he's leaning towards Shesterkin, but I also heard that Hank had a good camp. He played a lot when he was home in Sweden with his brother's team. So I don't know. He looked confident today. He made some nice saves. It's a tough decision. So we're just going to have to wait and see what happens.
All right, cool, dude. We'll look into this when it actually happens on Tuesday. We'll follow up on a playoff series of the Far Squad versus the Panthers, the Carolina Hurricanes, and then all the rest of the teams. It's good to see hockey back, RP. Man, it's a lot of sports all at once, man, and especially in the middle of summer. I'm not used to this, dude. I'm not. This is really weird, man. Okay, Ranger Pride, Empire Sports Media, of course, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And, of course, Steve, we'll be back next Tuesday. We'll talk more playoff hockey, man, and summer, man. It's really weird. Sorry, I'm soon. Lee Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.